You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome along to Series 6, Episode 17 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It may have been the mid-season break last week, but myself, Kieran Burke, and my co-host Gary Riley, we were hard at work getting ready for this week's show, and hopefully you're going to enjoy it because we're going to start the show by talking about the big news story from the league last week, and that was the application of the Declaration of Interest from Kerry FC to join the League of Ireland. So we'll start the show off by having a chat about that. The First Division returns this Friday night. No Premier Division games, but we've got three games to look forward to in the First Division. Athlone against Cove, Wexford v Treaty, and Longford Town v Bray Wanderers. And on the show tonight, we'll speak to the current Longford Town boss and former Bray boss, of course, Gary Cronin. And it's been and will be a busy couple of weeks for Ireland on the international front. Nations League games, a dire defeat against Armenia on Saturday. We'll discuss that and we'll look ahead to the two games this week in Dublin against Ukraine and Scotland. We're going to be joined by Ronan from Kenny's Kids on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. And I know listeners had lots of questions on Twitter for Ronan today ahead of that interview. So we'll try and fire through as many of those as possible. But Gaz, we'll start, as I said, with that big news story from the Kingdom, from County Kerry, Kerry FC, looking like they have major interest in joining the League of Ireland next season. What's your takings on that?
Yeah, look, it's a good thing. You mentioned there in the, you know, the intro there that Galway have a bye week this week, and that's because there's nine teams in the First Division. There's a real struggle to maintain a full complement of teams, you know, 20 teams across two divisions. I suppose that in my head that would be opening up a wider discussion about an All-Ireland League, but just on this, I suppose it's great that, you know, a new club in a new area, well, not a new club, but a club in a new area is expressing interest to play at the highest level in the country. I think it's a very positive step considering, like, you look at some other teams in lower leagues that kind of don't want to get involved with League of Ireland. I think that's a black mark on the FAI as well, that, you know, there's clubs that want to keep their distance away from the league and the FAI.
Haven't been attractive enough.
Exactly. You know, even without trying to hammer the FAI at every opportunity, Gary, but, like, you know, we still haven't heard that more about this third tier stuff. And now we have a team that have come from almost nowhere in League of Ireland terms looking to get into the League of Ireland, which I think is brilliant, particularly from that down around that part of the country as well. There isn't a League of Ireland presence in Kerry at the moment. So I think it'd be great to see a new entity down there joining the league, and certainly, you know, for League of Ireland fans that have clubs around the country, it'd be another great trip and another part of the country that we can go down and visit on a League of Ireland away day.
And the facilities look quite good as well from what I've seen. I know some people have raised the point that they're disappointed to perhaps see another AstroTurf pitch coming into the league, but that wouldn't bother me in this situation in the slightest, because I think we'll gain a lot more from having a team from that 100%. Part of the world in the country. So I don't think that's one thing that should be looked down on. The facilities look quite good. Nice little stand. I think there's a bar there as well. So that's definitely boding up to be a nice away day down in Kerry. So look, they've produced lots of really good League of Ireland players down the years, has that county. But unfortunately, they've had to go elsewhere to make a living. But hopefully now the youngsters of Kerry will have a senior team to aspire to going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, obviously, it's a GAA stronghold. There's no, you know, no, everybody knows that, you know what I mean? Like, there's no misunderstandings about what the top sport will be there, but it's good that football is coming in to areas like that that isn't the number one sport and trying to get a foothold and, you know, give players another, or give young people an opportunity to play a different sport at a reasonably high level. And that's a pathway that they can get on and play at a higher level again if possible. So I think it's a great thing. I'm delighted to see it. When I saw the news coming out last week, I was thought this is only good news for the league, and hopefully the FAI won't, you know, I don't want to say do damage to it, but, like, hopefully they'll help them and not stand in their way. And, you know, it's We're just looking for a bit of support for the new team down in Kerry. And
Roger, been fierce critical of the association this evening. Just to give them their credit, I suppose, this is another team that has taken advantage of the new underage pathway. They've entered teams at underage level for a number of seasons now, obviously building towards this moment. And hopefully, as you said, in the next 12 months or so, we'll get to see the product of that and a senior team entering the League of Ireland. You're looking at other teams that are part of that underage structure at the moment that aren't in the senior League of Ireland leagues. You're looking at the Mayo side there. Obviously, Monaghan as well have representation with their partnership with Cavan as well. So if this can be a success, then hopefully it'll be a stepping stone for those sorts of teams to come into the league. And again, areas that aren't currently represented in the League of Ireland.
Yeah, and that's kind of my point. Apart from, you know, me hammering the FAI, it's also, this can be the blueprint. This can be what you go around to other clubs that are on this pathway, let's say, that are in the lower or in the underage divisions of the league. This is what Kerry did. This is how we helped them. This is how we can do the same for you. And that promotes a brand of the league across the country, a wider net. More people see it. More people are aware of it. And that can only be a good thing for the league. It'd be great if we had two divisions of 12. Is that not something that we can aspire to? Hopefully it is. But at the moment where we are, we've 19 teams in the two divisions, and that's just not fantastic. Like a bye week, you know, Galway, just after a week off.
Hard to build any momentum there in terms of marketing and all the rest. But
exactly,
I know what you're saying. It'd be great to see two leagues of 12 and all the rest. But I think that third league really badly needed from a first division perspective, just to spice up the first division that bit more, because it's great at the moment at the top half of the table where loads of teams vying for playoff positions. It keeps everyone interested until the end of the year. But it's just for those clubs down the bottom. I know they might like to think about the threat of relegation, from a neutral point of view, and from a point of even for those clubs in terms of marketing and trying to get people in the gate, I'm sure they'll get much more supporters through the gate come the end of the season if it's a game that has big consequences for staying in the division as opposed to a dead rubber. So I think that third league, whatever way it looks, badly needed at this moment in time.
It is. And look, we've been across this ground before. There's no question that this needs to happen. And I suppose it doesn't seem like the FAI can do two things at once. So we haven't heard a thing about this since it was announced in the strategy. And, you know, we're not going to hear Atten for a little while yet because of international games and other things going on with other teams at national level. So, like, I appreciate that the FAI are busy, but this needs to be done sooner rather than later. If this is part of the strategy, we need this done quicker and we need to be hearing more about it. Just on the Kerry FC thing, if it can be brought to fruition, and you know, maybe I'm trying to be a bit more too positive with 24 teams playing at national level in the Premier and First Division, but at least if we had, as you said, a threat of relegation from the First Division, a reasonably competitive third tier, even if that was split into two regional leagues. I'm not sure how that would work with promotion and relegation as well. You know, what if, let's say, Finn Harps get relegated and Cork get promoted out of that? You know, how does that work with the, you know, the regional split? But those are things that can be worked out. I think it would be something that teams that are kind of creeping into a national league situation that they can expire. Well, actually, yes, I don't have to fill out a load of paperwork. We can do this on the pitch, and which is probably what most football fans would appreciate more, that we're getting promoted on the pitch. And if that can be done, and you know, that can come to fruition in some form in the next few years, it'd be fantastic. But in the short term, getting Kerry into the First Division will be a huge success.
Yeah, obviously, as we said, it'd be great to see three leagues down the line, but it's all about just one league this weekend. No Premier Division. It's all about the First Division. Three games to look forward to. We're going to get stuck into those now as the First Division resumes after the mid-season break. And Gary, I'm going to throw you a real tricky one to start with here with our predictions. Athlone against Cove. Bottom two.
I'm not sure. Is this that tricky? Really? Like
with the format Loan showed before the break, then no, you're probably going to side the way of Cove. But it took Cove in both games. I think certainly one of them was a very late winner, and I think the other game was a late winner as well for Cove. But they've won the two games against that loan, but they were really tight encounters. They were high scoring encounters as well. So
they were. I will say the way Cove they go 1-0 up against Longford. They did before the break at home to Longford. Longford equalised. Longford eventually went 3-1 up, but Cove got one back and made it a bit hairy for Longford for a few minutes before Longford kind of put the game to bed and got a fourth. So, like, these are... would you say they're growing a bit, Cove?
No, they're exactly the same as they were earlier on the season. They're playing glimpses of nice football. They can score the odd goal, but they concede too many. At loan, kind of same blueprint as well. So that's why I'm finding this one difficult to call.
Yeah, no, I think Cove have enough, to be quite honest with you. I think you made a very good point, which I think is still true. At loan, if they concede a goal at all, the game plan is ancient history. It's gone out the window and they can't seem to recover from conceding. And that is impossible to play with if you have that ailment, let's say. So I think if at loan haven't rectified that in the break, obviously we don't know. But if they haven't rectified that in the break, this is going to be an unfortunate loss at home, I believe. And this is probably their only real chance of winning a game this season. Like, I don't see any other team welcoming that loan to their ground or going down to Lissy Wullen and going, we might lose this game. I just don't see it, to be quite honest. And the loan took a right good pace enough, Bray. Before the break as well. Yeah, so
shocking in that game.
Like, if Bray can dish anybody out of pace, then your confidence has to be shot as well. So I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Cove.
Yeah, I think I'll follow you on that one. I'll follow you on that one. I'll go first on the next one, so you can't accuse me of following your selections. We'll move on to Wexford against Treaty. This is an interesting game as well, because Treaty are currently occupying that final playoff place, and Wexford is the team directly behind them. Wexford home advantage here, so this is a huge game for Wexford.
Oh, it's massive. And considering like Treaty gave them a right stuff in the first game of the season, in the first installment of this game,
I think that was just one of them freak results, wasn't it?
It probably was, but like that's gonna, no one that wants to take a concede five goals at home on the opening day of the season. Like, I hope Wexford players still feel that pain from that start of the season that they had. So I'd be expecting Wexford to come out early doors here and really try and go at Treaty and try and get into an early lead, because I still have misgivings about Wexford's defence. I saw so many things in that Galway game, I referenced it last week, that were just crazy stuff. And if Ian Ryan hasn't been able to rectify that sufficiently, Treaty will be scoring on the night. But you said you were going to go first.
Oh, yeah, I'll go first. Yeah.
You weren't going to stop me there either, were you?
No, it's just what I was doing there. I was looking back. Obviously, we all remember the 5-1 game at the start of the season. I just couldn't recall how the second meeting went, but that was a 2-1 win for Treaty. Enda Curran got a goal that night. I remember that one now. They got a late, very late penalty in the game, Treaty, and it was tucked away by Christopher, who I think has been out injured leading up to the break. They've missed him. But Enda Curran, another man that's been injured as well. I think they've really lacked him. And hopefully he's fit and firing now after the break, because I think they just missed his presence up there at times.
And I think Red Hanlon is out for a while as well, isn't he?
He's been out too. So yeah, they have been hampered by injuries, Treaty. And I share your misgivings about the Wexford back four. Is a week long enough to solve an issue that's not only been this season, but all of last season as well? It's probably not. They're going to have to be on the front here, front foot here, Wexford, and probably hope they outscore Treaty. Treaty, we know how well organised they can be. I could probably see this one being a very, very tight game. Wexford been at home. If I fancy anyone to win it, it'll be them. But I might go for a draw here. I'm going to play down the middle and go 1-1.
Yeah, I've been kind of straddling the idea between 1-1 and 2-1 Wexford. I'm going to take a little bit of a risk here. I'm going to go 2-1 to Wexford. I think if Jack Doherty is playing nicely and he's not that he's in the mood for it or not, but like if he's not really on form that night, I think he could do a lot of damage to Treaty. So, yeah, 2-1 Wexford.
2-1 Wexford. Yeah, again, we talk about Treaty being a well-organised side, but their last two clean sheets, both came against Longford. You look otherwise, 4-0 against Waterford before the break, 2-2 with Cove, 2-2 with Bray, lost 3-0 to Cork, 3-2 defeat against Galway. So lots of goals there in their games. So maybe those injuries have played a part. But yeah, no, as I said, if I see anyone winning this, I think it'll be Wexford. I'm going to hope, though, that maybe the week might have allowed Treaty to work on those defensive issues, get some players back fit. And I think both teams know this is a big one. If they come away with a draw, both teams are still in with a hunt, in with a chance of a playoff spot. So I think could be a cagey enough affair. I'll go 1-1 there. We'll move on to the game we'll be at on Friday night. We'll be streaming, of course, Longford Town against Bray. And we're going to hear from the Longford Town boss, Gary Cronin, after this.
Yeah, important game for Longford, I think, particularly after the break. Hopefully, you know, Gary probably alluded to it in the interview coming up, that hopefully we might have some bodies back that picked up knocks in the last few weeks. You know, Joe Doyle had to go off, Luke Dennison had to go off, Ryan Graydon went off the game before as well. So hopefully there's a bit more healthy bodies in the Longford camp with the break as well. So this is an important game for Longford, though. They as I said a thousand times already, Longford losing that game at home to Braid earlier on this season was tragic. Just tragic. And they need to continue.
Banish that ghost now. That's the chance.
Well, they do. And I was impressed with Longford's performance in Cove as well, considering it's a difficult place to go and they hadn't a great result the week before at home to Waterford. So they did turn it around in that game and they scored 4 goals. I think that's the most they've scored all season. So that's, you know, 2 positives right there. I think they'll be able to carry this in, but I think it's going to be a tight old game. I don't think there's going to be that much quality in it, but I think maybe the like of Dean McMenemy, McGurson also as well, I want to highlight him. He obviously scored
and assisted
in that game for Longford after coming on in the first half. So, you know, you can't really... Yeah, came on in the first half, but I think Longford does have a bit more quality in the team that can, at an individual level, that can turn it on and do something important for the team. So I'm going to go 1-0 to Longford Town.
Oh, no, can't believe it. I'm going 1-0 as well. Pretty much sharing what you've said there. I was very close to going 0-0, but I've said this a few times on the pod. Don't want to put pressure on the young lad, particularly with the injuries he's had. But Christian Magerson could be that little bit of X factor, that little bit of difference between drawing games and winning games, if he can stay fit, obviously, and touch wood that he does stay fit until the end of the season. But he got 45 minutes in down in Cove, and even if he hadn't scored and assisted the goal, I'd say mentally for him that was huge. That was the biggest chunk of football he's played in a long, long time.
Yeah.
But to get a goal, to get an assist, and he had other chances in the game as well. His confidence now going into the break must be sky high. All reports suggest he's feeling fine, feeling fit, feeling ready to go. He's probably pushing more for more minutes than maybe Gary Cronin wants to give him at the moment. Gary Cronin has said in numerous interviews, not only with us, but elsewhere, that he has to be very careful, Christian. He'll continue to do that, I'm sure. I doubt we'll see him play a full 90 for a while yet. But he's got 45 minutes under the belt now. Wants to say he can't have another 45 here, maybe an important half hour at the end of the game. So I'm going to pin my colours to him. I'm going to say Magerson to get the winner, 1-0 to Longford Town, and you'll give me a bonus point if that happens.
Oh, well, of course. And look, I'd give you 3 bonus points if it's a 1-0 and he... Well,
you can give me you've gone 1-0. You can give me a goal scorer as well.
Dean McMenemy.
Well, do you know what? If McMenemy gets a 1-0 winner, I'll give you 6 points extra because he hasn't scored a goal yet this season. So that'd be fair enough. But I thought his performance has tapered off slightly just before the mid-season break. So hopefully, you know, he's a young player that had played very, very few senior minutes before he came to Longford. So maybe Bit of a fatigue setting in there. So hopefully the week off and wherever he headed off to enjoy himself. Hopefully nice and refreshed now after the break, and we'll see a big performance from him on Friday night.
Yeah, no, I kind of see what you're saying. I think he was a bit more in and out of games, but I think definitely the injuries that Longford have suffered this year has definitely been damaging. Like, you look at Darren Craven, like, he was playing in front of Craven, which them two working together probably give McMenemy be a bit more time to be a bit more of a deep lying playmaker.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Now that that's gone and the system has had to change, you know, you go talk about, like, Dylan Barnett was playing left back, now he's playing centre back because of injuries and a change required in the system. So I wouldn't be too harsh on that. I think his dead ball delivery has been brilliant this season. I think he set up a few goals from his delivery. So maybe he'd bang in a free kick for me on Friday night.
Brilliant stuff. But yeah, that's the first division predictions for this weekend. Just the three games, but they're all quite important. So if you are a Premier Division fan and you're looking for some football, then if you're near one of those grounds, get out and watch some live football this Friday night. Or better again, you can watch the Longford Bray game on LTFC Plus, the best streaming service in the country. But we'll move on, and we will hear from Gary Cronin, the Longford Town boss, ahead of this huge game on Friday night. Now, the first division returns on Friday night. One of the teams that will be in action, Longford Town taking on Bray Wanderers. And I'm delighted to be joined by the former Bray manager, current Longford Town manager, Gary Cronin. He joins us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Gary, how's the break been?
Yeah, good. Kieran, it was nice to sort of relax for the week and watch football without analysing it, really, you know. But yeah, nice break away with the family and so on. But we've been back at it since the weekend, since Sunday morning. I think the lads had a well-deserved break. Long trip down to Cove before we were off then on the Saturday. And the lads, you can tell by the back in training, they kept themselves ticking over, and we're ready to go now this week.
How would you review the first half of the season? Your team had a really good start. People were starting to talk about Longford. Could they maybe be in the title mix with the top two clubs? Then you had that damaging week where you lost back-to-back games against Cork and Galway on the road, despite some decent performances in those games. And the defeat to Waterford recently. But you, as you said there, you ended the first half of the season with that good win down in Cove. So sitting comfortably inside the playoff places, which I guess was the goal at the start of the year. But overall, how do you evaluate your first half?
Yeah, look, if it was to do it in one word, we'd be satisfied. And sometimes satisfaction is not enough. You want more. Like, you know, there's certain games you could look at where we could have picked up a couple more points. But there's also other games you look at. And, you know, we've had a couple of games where we won the last in injury time winners and so on. But we've won half our games, Kieran. It's a good return from the lads. You know, we always say, look, we were building a group, building a team, and along the way we had to pick up results. And to be fair to the lads, I'll give them huge credit. They've done that. They dug deep. Winning half our games is not a bad return in a league that has three full-time teams, and we're competing somewhat with those teams. So overall, we're satisfied. But you know, we're back in training this week. We know the second half of the season to come, and it's going to be a tough slog because teams are going to be after us as well. But look, first half of the season, we're satisfied. The players have to get huge credit for the work rate that they've put in. We're quietly confident in what we can do in the second half of the season. We can add a couple of bodies to the squad as well, because injuries and suspensions are still going to be there. They've been there for the first half of the season. They're going to be there for the second half of the season. But refer back to the start before, when they took the job, when we were building the squad, you're trying to get the right characters in. You know you're going to go through tough times in the season, particularly as a part-time group. And, you know, we did promise, I said it obviously publicly, but the group, our staff, we promised that we'd be competitive, and we've certainly done that part of it. I think in all games, we have been competitive, even the ones that got beaten, we've been competitive. So we continue that trait, and hopefully second half of the season, we'll be really difficult to beat. We want to continue that on, and if we can get a little bit more firepower in front of the goal, you know, consolidate where we are in our playoffs, you never know. The 1st of July is coming up, Kieran, and that's when the transfer window opens up. So in the month of June, we've really tough games. So they're all tough. Obviously, we play Bray the weekend, and Wexford in between Cork and Galway. In relation to the title, you know, the full-time teams will obviously look to fancy themselves, which is understandable. But, you know, we'll go under the radar on that I suppose we'll know a lot more from the 1st of July, obviously, after we play Cork and Galway and obviously Brian Wexford as well.
A lot of Longford fans listening to this, they'll probably be wondering how the search for recruitment is coming along, because I think myself and Gary here on the pod have discussed quite a bit this season. Longford, they do just look a little bit light in certain areas. Injuries and suspensions have begun to crept in, as you said there. So how's the search for new talent coming along?
Look, you're sort of on it since, you know, weeks ago, even more. Like, you're always on the eye and on the lookout for who may not be playing, was playing enough game time to bring them in. It's a difficult window. I think most managers will be, you know, it's not a... They're not a fan of the window, because you generally get players that aren't playing or maybe not performing, or other clubs don't want them. But sometimes out of that, you get a really, really player that just suits our group and really push on with us, and vice versa. So, myself, James Keddie's watched a lot of Leinster Senior League games actually over the last 6 weeks. We have our eye on one or two. We've actually contacted one or two in that league and unfortunately can't commit. But yeah, we're obviously looking within our own league, and we've had a couple of players contact ourselves. You know, obviously we're going well enough, and that we'll have, you know, the likelihood of, as we keep on going, that we'll have some important games at the end of the season, and players will want to play in those. But yeah, it's coming along. There's, you know, areas that we want to strengthen in. You know, obviously we want to get more goals, so if we can add a bit of competition up there, it's in the middle of the park, we'd have another body, and maybe attacking wide areas, you know. But listen, we'll see what's available in the window, and you know, we'll obviously try and get what we're after. And sometimes something falls on your lap as well, which is rare in football, but sometimes that can happen, and maybe that's the case. But you know, we're searching hard. You may get a loan. You may get a good loan player from one of the full time teams that hasn't got enough game time, who's really hungry to play. You know, but anyone that's going to come into our group, there's no guarantee of anyone playing. They have to do the hard work to try and displace any players that are currently playing at the moment. So, but that drives good competition within football groups there. So, you have to work very hard on that one.
It's interesting to hear you say there you've been taking a look at Leinster Senior League players. That's obviously a route you'd have no issues going down. Is that absolutely something not you've had joy in the past, or what was that?
Well, we signed Darren Craven from Malahide United there last year when we were with Bray Wanderers, and that was his first year in League of Ireland. And he had an excellent year, and he was actually disappointed himself in his own performances. And you can see, when we came to Longford with us, you could see he's been a massive loss for us since he got the injury. The lads have done really well now, and we haven't folded by any means, but he's definitely a player that we've lost a little bit of, you know, a little bit of attacking flair with. Darren, his eye for goal from distance is really good, and he's got an unfortunate injury that's going to keep him out till the end of the year. May make playoffs if he's lucky. We don't know. It's a knee injury. So, and then you look at Joe Power though. Joe Power's come on again. He came to us with an injury, but we knew the talent that he had. You know, he's come from Greystones and played in the Leinster Senior League, and he's a really, really talented footballer, and is hungry to get going at this level as well. But I just think it'd be naive of particularly first division managers, but even, you know, even Premier Division, you know, be naive of managers to ignore that league. There's some fantastic players in that league, and you know, we've definitely benefited from some players making a step up to first division. The league actually has really talented players that simply just can't commit.
Is that the biggest issue with trying to attract players from that league?
We've tried a couple of players, knowing that the window's coming up, knowing that the Leinster Senior League is ending. We've already made, James has made one or two calls that were interested in this player, and they'd be very grateful for the contact, but saying, listen, I can't commit with work and so on. Obviously, we're not in a full-time environment where you're often in a position where you have to give up work. That can be difficult for some players to make the jump, because there is a huge commitment level. We want to win. Yeah, we want to play in big games, and they have to be committed to that cause. You'll always keep looking in that league. It's a really, really strong league. There's some excellent talent in that league.
You mentioned the loan market as well. Obviously, you've got Dean McMenemy on loan from Shamrock Rovers. Is he going to be staying on for the remainder of the season?
Yeah, we've signed Dean at the start of the season on a season-long season-long loan. So there's no need for an extension on that one. Dean has been one of our key players. Obviously, he's been excellent in the way that we play, and he's a prime example of a hungry player that wants first team football. And he's obviously had very limited minutes at Shamrock Rovers. They have a huge amount of talent in the midfield area as well, so it'd be difficult for him there. But my view on Dane is you know, we've given him an opportunity to play first team football, and he's grabbed it. He's really showed great character as a young boy for his first time playing senior football, and he's come on really well. And I see him as a premier player, to be honest with you. I'll see him playing premier football, I think, in over the next couple of seasons. But it's just obviously difficult for him at the likes of Shamrock Rovers with the huge amount of talented midfielders that they have there. But so you look at players like Dean and say, it was like when I was at Bray last year, we brought Brandon in for the year. And, you know, you look at Brandon there, he's got his move up to Derry City and he's doing well up there. But, you know, the fourth division can be a really, really good starting platform for some players that can't get minutes in the Premier Division. And, yeah, we're looking at some of the full-time clubs that are currently in the Premier Division, and some of them have been in contact about the possibility of one or two players. If they suit what we're all about, and if they're hungry for it, if they're the right player for us, we'll definitely look at that avenue of loans as well. Yeah.
And one player who could be potentially like a new signing for you in the second half of the season, Christian Magerson, a man we've spoken a lot about on this show. We get a lot of messages off Bowes fans as well, always looking to see how he's doing, how he's coming along. Great moment for him down in Cove, played a full 45 minutes. That's the first time he's done that for long, for first time he's done that in a number of years, full stop, and gets a goal, gets a brilliant assist as well. So that must have been brilliant for him. I'd imagine it was a great scene in the dressing room after the game. But second half of the season, how effective do you think he can be for Longford?
Listen, we're delighted. Myself and James and staff, we're delighted with Christian. We just really see... I talked to Christian's background and his story, to be honest with you. At the start of when I was managing Bray, it was a possibility as a young player he was going to come on loan from Bowes, and then he got the unfortunate injury, and obviously it's prolonged. We know the history there, and you know he nearly fell by the wayside. And to be honest with you, I was having a good chat at the start of the year about players, and I was chatting to the under-21s manager Jim Crawford, and you know, we were chatting about players, and Christian's name came up, and you know, then after I just felt it was really worth, I heard he was training in the Leinster Senior League, it's worth getting him up for pre-season, and he was really good. There's a player there, we all know that, we can see the talent that he has, really good size, really hungry for it, has an air of confidence about him that doesn't borderline into cockiness, which is great. And then he got an unfortunate injury, actually, the day after we actually put him on paper and signed, we got an unfortunate injury that kept him out for 8 weeks at the start and knocked him back. And his reaction to that has been fantastic. So, you know, I'd love Christian to kick on the second half of the season and make a real impact in big games. I'd be delighted for him personally after what he's gone through. But, you know, us as a club, I had this chat with the chairman at the start of the year, and a lot of clubs may have, you know, told the manager that no, there's too much of an injury history there. We had a chat about it, set up the chairman, and we just felt it was definitely worth giving Christian a go. And he needed another chance, and we were delighted to provide that for him. And a bit of a risk, but I think, and hopefully, and fingers crossed, that he stays injury free for the second half of the season, and he's definitely going to be like a new signing, as you say to us. My job with Christian over the last couple of months was to make sure that we didn't rush him back too quickly. As hungry and eager as Christian is to get back on the pitch, because he's been out for so long, my job as the manager is to make sure that we don't overdo it and we looked after him. And in the back of my head, I always thought the second half of the season is where we're probably going to see the best of Christian. An opportunity came, unfortunately, but Joe Doyle did pick up an injury in the first half against Cove, and that was the opportunity for me to say, right, now we can play him over 45 minutes. And as you can see in the second half there, an excellent goal. Great assist for Robbo's goal, and he'll admit himself he should have had two more. Definitely should have had one that he was very close with, just over the crossbar. And but he gets into good areas, and he's a really good player.
Your former club, Bray, coming to Bishopsgate now on Friday night, and they probably feel like they might owe Longford Town one as well after that late goal the last time you met. So expecting a tough game.
Absolutely. I, if you just look at it on the league table alone, you look at it this season, I think we're 12 points ahead of Bray. I'm sure they'll see it as an opportunity to claw some points back on us. Our obviously incentive would be to widen that gap away from a team that would be looking to get playoffs. But we'll treat it as the game that it is. It doesn't matter to me that it's Bray Wanderers. You know, that's gone. We had it the second game of the season, a lot of talk about it, you know, former club and so on. That was the actual game. When I look at all our games in throughout the first half of the season, we probably created more chances in that game than any other game we played. And that's the way football works. I suppose that's the beauty about football. just because you create chances doesn't mean you win the games. We lost because we didn't convert our chances and gave away two poor goals. And then the reverse game in Bray was a much tighter affair. Still think we deserved to win the game. We went right down to the end. There was another game where Joe Power made his debut and showed his quality with the true ball and the assist. But it's going to be a tough game on Friday, and I'd expect nothing less. But hopefully now we can come out the other end with a win.
Gary, just a couple of fan questions before we go. Kevin Higgins wants to know, what do you think about the possibility of this proposed third tier that might be coming in League of Ireland?
Yeah, I haven't thought much about it, obviously, over the course of the last few months, concentrating on, obviously, our own jobs and getting points on the board. And,
well, hopefully it's a league Longford will never need to play in, so hopefully you won't be thinking about it too much.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I genuinely think it's a good thing. I suspect, I did speak to Mark Scanlon about this probably a year ago and so on. I suspect a lot of, full-time clubs may have a B team in it, but there'll also be regional clubs in it and so on. There's a lot of clubs, St. Francis, where we trained, they put an application in over a year ago and they have a hunger to get back into League of Ireland. But you need clubs throughout the country. But for a competitive reason, yeah, I do believe, the bottom half of the first division needs to have the threat of relegation. Just for competitive reasons, and that might improve some of the clubs and so on. But then there's the other part for me, I'll be a fan of it because there's too many players that go out 19s football for me, Kieran, that don't get enough first team football. And that's a song the managers have been singing for a long time. There's been improvements on that this year, to be fair to the league. They've listened to us, and we have, we're allowed to play two overage players that with no age limit and two overage players who are under 20 in the 19s at the moment. But for players to get games week in, week out over 19 years of age, a tour tier needs to be there. But it needs to be done in a way where it's not just done for the sake of it. There has to be good quality, good facilities, good quality coaches. I need to develop players, bring them on with an aim to try and get them playing in the first division and the Premier Division. That's the way I see it. But overall, I would see it as a good thing. But there's other aspects of it, Kieran, that people running the clubs, the cost, the financial part of it, that's not for me at this moment in time to talk about. That's a reality as well. Is it affordable? Is it sustainable for clubs to be able to do that? What type of tour tier is it going to be? Is somebody from Wexford going to be traveling up to Donegal? All that has to be considered as well, and I'm sure that's being considered by the powers that be who are introducing this tour tier.
And there's just another fan question for you. This one is more of a jab at us, I think, because anyone that listens to this show regularly, they'll know we're always saying Longford Town are the best footballing side in the division, and some fans don't take too kindly to that. But we have a Galway fan, and he wants to know, does Gary feel the pressure from Section O to keep up his brand of football, even if it's not getting them results? So a little bit of a jab there from Julian.
Julian, yeah.
Yeah.
The answer to that, we know, because we weren't put under that pressure from Section O from the start. We like to play that way. We're very adaptable. If you look down at the Cove game, Cove had more possession of the ball than us. They probably a few more passes. It wasn't not that much. We know how to adapt. We feel, we're not perfect by any means. Obviously, the league table doesn't lie. But I will say, and I'll say this to Julian, the difference. If you look at the league table where it is, the difference between full-time and part-time shows in that league table there at the moment. And that's my personal opinion. And this is not a dig at any part-time club. We live within our means. We do a great job of that between the management team and the board. The club, they live within their means. Yeah, it'd be great if we were all full-time. But I firmly believe the group of players we have, if they didn't have the commitments that they have outside of football and we were just fully concentrating on football like the top three teams are, I think we'd be well in that mix with those group of players. But look, for the time that we have and the time that we train, we work on certain things. The players enjoy the way we play when we have to play, but they also know that when it's time to roll up the sleeves and work hard, like we did down in Cove. It was very frustrating at times down in Cove. It was that, we weren't implementing the way we wanted to really play in the first half. We didn't start the game well, and, we just took stock at halftime and we found a way to win the game in the second half, and ultimately that's what football is all about. But, when we play Galway at the end of June, Julian can come to the game and see what way we play.
You're certainly not a football purist, though. You'll take the result over the style every day.
Well, look, come here. Listen, I won't. If the style was always unattractive to me, like I said, I don't know if I'm being it for that. We'll always try our best to try and entertain as well. That's cost us one or two goals, but sometimes you have to realise that's going to happen in the game.
Great stuff, Gary. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Kieran. All the best.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Right, we're going to move on and we're going to discuss Ireland. And Gary, I know we were exchanging text messages all day Saturday. It was a very, very grim result out in Armenia.
I was desperate. It was absolutely desperate. I think I did say it on last week's pod. I've said it before that there comes a time in a tenure and in the growth of a team that you just have to be putting lads to the side. And I'm fully behind Stephen Kenny. Make no mistake about it. But he got that wrong. On Saturday, there is no urgency.
In terms of what? In terms of team selection, tactics, what did he get wrong?
The whole lot. Like, there was a lot of fluting around with the ball, huge amounts of possession. Was it 500 or 600 passes or whatever it was? And was there a shot on goal?
I can't remember. Their keeper making a save anyway, no.
No. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think Ogbeni buried one wide. Something came into the box on the right.
Best chance was probably the one where Robinson, it's a poor enough cut back to him. He makes something of it, scuffy enough contact. And
scuffy
it's
enough.
Kind of half cleared off the line. Might have been going wide anyway. And then, as usual, Duffy had a header in the second half. But that was
straight really at the keeper, actually.
Yeah.
So that was technically a shot on target. Ogbeni headed it over.
Ogbeni, of course. That was definitely the best chance by far. Maybe not a goal he scores too often, but he's totally unmarked. Probably 7-8 yards out. He has to at least hit the target anyway.
Yeah, but could he have taken that down? Like, I'm not saying he could have, but do you know what I mean? Like, maybe in a different world. But like, I couldn't, and everybody going on about how disappointing it was. No, it's, you know, disappointing is conceding a 90-minute equaliser. That's disappointing. What happened on Saturday was just wrong, just unacceptable. You know, multiples of degrees worse of disappointing. I couldn't get over, the lamenting and the dug in. And I appreciate that this is international football. Make no mistake, I understand that there are no handy games. But at the end of the day, if Ireland are going to keep the progression going in the way that I wanted to go in, and that's under Stephen Kenny, well, then he has to start getting some results, because at some point the noise will just become too loud and he'll have to go. Now it's gotten into, plenty of time has been given, all the players he has brought in, all of those things are positives, and I want him to continue. But at the end of the day, it'll just become, lad, you haven't won enough games. Israel. Is it Israel that have only scored fewer goals? No, San Marino have scored no goals in the Nations League, and Ireland have two. I think one of them was no.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen this today. We haven't scored a home goal yet in the Nations League. So these two games coming up tomorrow against Ukraine and Saturday against Scotland, that they're huge games now for Stephen Kenny, aren't they?
They are huge games, but like, to start off losing.
Yeah, against the lowest ranked team in the group.
Armenia. Look, come on.
Great way to start. Certainly, first half, I thought Ireland controlled the game without, as you said, creating huge piles of chances. But I never thought at halftime, my God, we're going to lose this game. I thought, geez, we might draw 0-0 here and that'll be frustrating, but to lose the game. But look, there were several warning shots in that second half, shots from range that Ireland didn't take heed of. They didn't get out and squeeze the man in possession quick enough on the edge of the box. And they were punished for that. Yeah. So, look,
they were punished for the same against Azerbaijan in the Aviva. A few months ago, whenever that was, I was at. But like, no, that's my point. There's no urgency. Like, our friend Ethan, he retweets it every week. Neil Warnock in the dressing room. You have to die to win 3 points, right? You have to die. I didn't do enough of it. That's why I'm talking about football instead of playing it. But we know what it takes. Jeff Hendrick, I've been commending you on your change in performances under Stephen Kenny because I couldn't believe you were getting in the squad before that. But unless you have to put your grandmother in front of the ball to block it, you know, I'm particularly with like Shane Duffy behind him, who has put everything that he has ever thought about in front of a ball to block a shot. Shane Duffy must be losing his mind looking at Jeff Hendrick doing what he did. Now, that's not the only part of the problem with that particular goal. But as you said, the Warner shots were there, the offside goal. These were like, that should have been like, oh, Jesus, boys, we can't lose this. Like, surely to God, someone in the dressing room said, this losing here is unacceptable. And that's what I was hoping for. But I'm not sure if that was said.
It's the biggest problem, and a problem we've had for a few years now, and it keeps coming back to this, in my opinion. The fact we have nobody put the ball in the net. We have no out-and-out number nine. Is that a big, big problem? And is that going to be a big problem going forward?
Look, it's a very hard thing to get that. And, you know, maybe are we looking at Robbie Keane's time?
Yeah, look, we know we're not going to get a striker again that's going to score, 50, 60 international goals.
But I was
looking at passages of play the other day in the first half particularly, and there was lots of good little passages of play where front three, Ogbeni, Robinson, they were, you know, fluid around the final third, moving around the pitch. But there was times where Ogbeni would come and receive the ball, and then I'd look from the area he came, and the penalty spot, the penalty area would be totally vacant. There'd be nobody in between the posts.
Yeah,
we don't have that player that just wants to stay on the edge of the 18-yard box between the posts, link up with the wide players, get shots in when they can. We don't seem to have one of those. Adam Eade obviously is a huge loss with injury. They've tried Will Keane. I thought he came on in one of the games. I think it might have been the Belgium game he came on, and I was really impressed with him. And I thought, okay, we could have something here. And then he played against Lithuania, and he was absolutely dreadful. Obafemi came on the other day, didn't really get involved in the game. There's a lot of people saying maybe he might get a chance tomorrow against Ukraine, but they need to find someone that's just going to stay up there, be the focal point, and let the likes of Ogbeni, Robinson do their stuff out wide and try and get the ball in. And again, the most frustrating thing for me on Saturday was it took until Ireland went behind and they were chasing the game with 10 minutes to go to play with any of that urgency that you mentioned they were lacking for large parts of the game and to do what we're best at. Now, I'm not looking for us. I'm the same as you. Huge, huge Stephen Kenny fan, huge advocate of what he's doing, changing the style. But you look at throughout his reign, a lot of our goals have come from getting crosses into the box, headers, set pieces, typical Irish goals, playing with tempo, playing with aggression. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what we're good at. That's in our DNA. So we have to be willing to mix it up. You know, play this possession football, but where it's required, go that little bit longer, go that bit more direct. It was only in the last 10 minutes when we started getting the ball wide, getting crosses in, getting the likes of Shane Duffy up from the back, that we actually looked like we might create something. I don't think we do that enough. Again, I'm not looking for us to go back to the Jack Charlton days, but there needs to be, we're 0-0 here, lads, against Armenia. We need to pick it up a gear or two here, play with a bit more urgency, play with a bit more aggression. If that means having 10% less possession, but having more possession up in the final third of the pitch, then so be it.
Yeah, no. Just to go back to my earlier point, not that I didn't listen to you there, but like Robbie Keane, he's a once-in-a-generation type player.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he was sensational for his country. And record goal scorer, all the rest of it. And fair play to him for that. Those types of players just don't come around that often. And do we need that type of player? Yes, we do. But, like, this comes down to the manager and the setup and you know, we look at Ukraine or even Armenia there, what way are we going to approach this game? These are what they do. They do this, they do that, they do the other. So we need to do it like this. Shane Duffy can stand there up front, receive a ball and pass it out to someone else. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't need a particular Robbie Keane to do that. Yes, we need someone.
Yeah, but there's a huge difference in that player that gives the ball off then having the instinct to go and get on the end of the cross, know the positions to have to be. There's a huge difference.
Yeah, but Ireland didn't do enough of that, so it didn't matter who was in the box or not in the box there today. It didn't matter that the person in there wasn't able to kick it into the net or head it into the net, because we weren't doing enough of that type of play.
I know. Yeah, but again, who was the front three that started the other day? Oh, Benny, Robinson, and who was the other one that started in the front three? But none of them would appeal to me as a natural striker.
Yeah, and fine, but like, if that's the case that we don't have a natural striker, a Robbie King type player, then we have to do it a different way. We need to get players coming in from midfield taking shots. We didn't do that the other day as well. We conceded two horrendous goals, Azerbaijan and Armenia, from long range shots. I could score against any keeper in the world from 30 yards out. All I do is need to take a shot. We're not doing that. We can't even do that.
Troy Parrott was the other one that started again. Troy played Parrott, out wide on the left.
I don't think, is that his position? Maybe, I don't think so. I'm not sure if he's suited there, because
you have to remember he's been playing in League One this season. So was Ogbeni. I know he got promoted, but it's just
well, who do we play in that position? Like, who was in midfield? Cullen, Hendrick.
Two wing backs, Stevens and Coleman, and then Egan, Duffy, and Collins in behind.
Right. So, well, like that, then really, we deserve to lose that game if that was a team. Really. Who's the lad in midfield making stuff happen?
Well, it's usually Cullen, isn't it? But I thought he was quite anonymous on Saturday.
I find him more defensive.
He's good at recycling possession, isn't he? Jeff Hendrick, again, he takes a lot of criticism, but I thought in the first half he was the only one ever looking for that four pass to split the defence, but he probably doesn't have the engine anymore to be real box-to-box. So then you're relying on the two wing-backs to get forward.
Yeah.
Seamus Coleman, for whatever reason, didn't seem to be able to do that the other day.
He didn't do very much overlapping or anything like that.
No, and Stevens, again, was cutting inside more than going wide. And then James McLean comes on towards the end of the game, and every single cross he put in was out for a throw, the far side. That's been a huge problem for Ireland as well. Good service from wide areas. So,
I do want to make a point on that. I think it needs to become acceptable to lose possession when you're trying something. I'm not saying like you boot it away, but like it's like, oh, boot it back. Boot it back to Duffy. Boot it back to Duffy. Boot it back to Egan. Boot it back to Collins. It's too acceptable to retain possession. I won't make a mistake. I won't lose possession. Mm. I'll pass off the responsibility to someone else. That's very disappointing. I was watching the... and that's actually something at the under-21s as well. But I think Alan Cawley said in commentary... Or was it when... It was some of the games Alan Cawley said it. We're in the final third. Somehow, 5 seconds later, our keeper has it.
Yeah.
What's that about? How is that tolerated when we're playing a team that we should be soundly beating in Armenia? Those are things that I find, like, I know I'm probably rambling on too much, but there's, you know, if Ireland get a good result tomorrow, let's say a 1-1 draw or sneak a win against a team that in Ukraine, for all the reasons that we already know, and also just missed out on the World Cup. You know, if Ireland, you know, is a plucky, you know, going down 1-0 and then...
That's my next question. Look, we can go on about this Armenia result all day. It was an absolute disaster. So there's no need, really. It doesn't need to be analysed. It just wasn't good enough. Can't happen. The two games coming up in Dublin this week, Ukraine, Scotland. What's an acceptable return from those in terms of points?
4 points.
Needs to win. Has to win one of them, doesn't he?
They put the pressure on themselves now.
Yeah, massively.
So, like we'll say, 5 points from those three games. Not fantastic either. Like, two of those games are home, and one of them would, you know, if we were talking about this last week, would 5 points from an away game to Armenia, which you're thinking, well, that's 3 points there.
Plus, this is a group that Stephen Kenny said he wanted to win. So
yeah, look, I'm not saying that that's unachievable or unattainable at the moment now, but like, he has definitely put a bullet into his foot at the moment.
Yeah, look, I didn't see it in full, the Ukraine Scotland game, but all reports Ukraine were absolutely fantastic. I watched them against Wales the other day and I thought they were extremely unlucky. They had 24 shots on goal, 9 of them on target. Wayne Hennessy decided to have the game of his life. But I look at a good tweet I read the other day from an English Premier League journalist. He said he looks at Zinchenko playing for Manchester City and he thinks to himself, how is this lad playing for City? He's just about up to the grade for City. He watches him play for Ukraine and he said, you realise then how good you have to be just to get into the Manchester City squad. Because Zinchenko is a fullback, anyone that doesn't watch Premier League. He's a left fullback, attacking fullback, who's probably not brilliant defensively. But for Ukraine, he plays bang in the centre of the park, centre midfield, and he's their playmaker. Everything goes through him. He's probably the most technically gifted player they have. He definitely is more technically gifted than any player we have. You look at Yarmolenko as well, Premier League fans probably look at him playing for West Ham and think he's run-of-the-mill Premier League player. He's fantastic for his country. I think I was tallying it up today. I think he's had 108 caps or something along those lines, and he's been involved in 60-something goals in terms of goals and assists. So I remember watching him a good few years back when he played at Wembley. It could have been a friendly against England or something, but he absolutely tore England to pieces. I think that was before he moved to the Premier League. So he's been around a long time. He's a top-class performer at that level. So they've got some wonderfully technically gifted players. The performance I've seen against Wales, they're technically a very good team. They move the ball well. They play with a good tempo. So this game against Ukraine tomorrow, Ireland at times are probably going to be on the counter-attack, but I think Ireland play their best football on the counter. It's the games against the likes of Armenia where Ireland have huge chunks of possession and they're asked to find the key. They can't find that key. Will these games against better nations maybe suit Ireland that little bit more?
Yeah, and that's a problem.
But this is the situation we're in. We need results this week. So go on, how many points are we going to come away with over the next week?
I'd be happy with 2, that's just me. I don't think the wider
public
football and public are going to be that satisfied with 2 points.
No.
Because, you know, you mentioned Zinchenko and Yarmolenko and these players. That's all well and good. And yes, I'm aware they just a lot missed out on the World Cup as well. Like, tomorrow night is going to be an incredibly difficult game.
Yeah.
And, you know, taking the game on its merits, just with that game, with what's going on in Ukraine, some of the players that they have, and also just missing out on the World Cup, that's going to be painful to them. Will they be able to pick themselves up that quickly?
I think they will.
I think they will as well. I think they could be out looking to absolutely put Ireland down at home. And that could be a dangerous result for Ireland and the setup.
I think if he can come
1-1 draw, it has to be a score draw.
I think, look,
Ireland have to score.
It'd be great if they could score, but I think if he can come away with a result against Ukraine and then beat Scotland, I think that'd be huge, because, you know, it's one of those games against a neighbour. It's going to be probably a sold out Aviva, probably be a big Scottish crowd, big atmosphere. People would really enjoy winning a game like that, even though I can already see the game. As much of as Ireland have improved, it's probably going to be a real scrappy affair. Those games against the likes of Scotland, always very, very tight games, hard fought, full-blooded encounters. So, look, if they can get a draw tomorrow against Ukraine and play a decent brand of football, nice performance, and then just win that game against Scotland, then I think that would go some way to rectifying the issues that we saw on Saturday. But look, we might come back to this in a couple of minutes time towards the end of the show. But what we're going to do now, we're going to bring on Ronan from Kenny's Kids. And when we announced that Kenny's Kids was coming onto the show tonight, there was a lot of people very, very excited on social media. Lots of questions for Ronan, and we put them questions to him in this interview. So here it is, Ronan from Kenny's Kids joining us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast ahead of a big week for the Republic of Ireland. Now, it's obviously a big couple of weeks for the Republic of Ireland and Stephen Kenny's side. They were beaten 1-0 by Armenia on Saturday. 2 games coming up in Dublin now this week, tomorrow night, Wednesday against Ukraine, and then Saturday against Scotland. And a man all in the know about Republic of Ireland, both senior and the underage sides, is Ronan Calvert from the world-renowned Kenny's Kids Twitter page. And I'm delighted to say Ronan joins me now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Ronan, good to see you. Thanks for coming on. I suppose we'll start with Saturday's game. Really damaging result, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's just not the result we would have wanted at all to start off this campaign, especially, you know, Stephen Kenny and Barron team obviously like have done so well over the last kind of like 12 games prior. I think the only defeat would have been that, you know, Ronaldo goal that Stephen loves to reference quite often to talk about his record. But like, it has been kind of like a really positive period. Like, it felt like Ireland had turned a corner in that sense, in terms of like results, especially because I think like the interesting thing for me would be people who would be kind of pro Kenny in this kind of like tribal argument that's like ongoing. Like, even when Ireland were losing all those Nations League games in the last campaign, they still would have said Ireland are playing well and should have won games. But for a period there, you know, Stephen was getting the results to vindicate the performances. And as long as he doesn't have the results to back up his processes, there's always going to be criticism and there's always going to be doubts. Like, I probably agree with him. I think Ireland did have like enough possession, enough chances, enough for the ball to have won that game, particularly because Armenia didn't really have any major chances and the one they did was from range. But he'll know himself, like, with all the scrutiny and, you know, maybe not everyone in the FAI has his back or is fully supporting him, he knows he needs good results.
I suppose as well, maybe there's not a little bit of added pressure because Stephen Kenny came out himself and said that his goal is to top this group. So taking on Armenia in the first game, ranked 94th in the world, or the lowest ranked team in the group, it looked an ideal starting point for Ireland, even though obviously it was a difficult conditions and all the rest to play in. But, you know, that's not an ideal start. And now two tough games coming up in Dublin.
Yeah, certainly. Like, it doesn't get any... Well, I suppose on paper, it doesn't get any easier, but we all know like Ireland have really struggled when it has been against the teams who are cautious or will sit back, because, you know, it just really, really like highlights our lack of, first of all, a kind of goal scorer, number nine, a target man, but also just our lack of a creator. Like, Jeff Hendrick was the only one I thought, especially in the first half, who looked like he could slip a ball through and unlock that low block at all.
I think, where do you stand on Jeff Hendrick, actually, just that you mentioned him there, Ronan? Because I made this point on my own social media the other day before the game. As soon as the Ireland team was named, there was an awful lot of criticism, as there seems to be every time his name in the starting 11, Jeff Hendrick. But for me, he's been one of the best players under Stephen Kenny. Now, I know people have maybe highlighted him for the goal that he could have got out and closed a little bit better. But that happened a few times in the second half in Armenia. There was a couple of chances they had from range where the Irish team as a group didn't seem to get out to the ball quick enough. So I'm not sure it's fair to highlight one man, but they're always, he seems to become this player now, this centre of attention every time he's named in the starting 11, where very people pro for Jeff Hendrick, very against. So where do you stand on his position in the team?
Yeah, like 100%, Kieran, like I'm with you there, and I'm actually happy you mentioned that, because like I was thinking the exact same thing. It actually doesn't really sit with me that well, like, because it is so frequent and so kind of like uncalled for. Again, like my whole Twitter feed just blew up with like this like Hendrick criticism after Saturday's game, when actually like I don't think he was any worse than any other Irish player in the second half. They all got a bit lethargic, whatever, as the game went on. You know, they kind of ran out of ideas, first of all, which probably hurt their confidence, but also the kind of weather factor as well, possibly. But it, like in the first half, I rewatched the game and he had three passes that split the Armenian back four. Ogbene should have controlled one. Ogbene was beaten to the keeper for another one, and the third one, Robinson had it, but he failed to turn into an opportunity. He could have passed it to Ogbene to potentially score. And like, apart from Hendrick, there's no one else in our team who can do that. Like, so people might be frustrated that Ireland don't create enough chances, and if maybe one of the three forward positions was someone like Conor Ronan or Will Smallbone, who could also contribute those type of passes, then there wouldn't be as much of a kind of dependence on Hendrick to make things happen. But like, yeah, again, I think people just after every poor Ireland result, they need a scapegoat. And it's a lot easier to pick out the guy who's been there a long time rather than one of the young players. And also because, you know, maybe Hendrick was involved in a lot of, you know, bad memories during the Martin O'Neill era, or like, you know, they associate him with a lot of their kind of, I don't know, pain watching the Irish football team. So like, I just think he's a bit of a target. And I agree with you, he's been one of the best players under Stephen Kenny, really, in my opinion.
You mentioned Will Smallbone there, another really impressive performance for him last night for the under-21s in their 3-0 win against Montenegro. But I was looking through the Twitter feed of the FAI last night after that game, and a lot of people saying Smallbone needs to be in the senior team, needs to be in the senior team. But is that realistic in all honesty, given the lack of senior club football that he has played?
It's not right now at all. Like, and Stephen Kenny, he's kind of asked by one of the media today, like, I don't think it was a, you know, fully serious question, but he said, you know, should Smallbone keep his phone on now over next week? Stephen straight away said, no, he's going to be sticking with the 21s. He's going to play that important game next week for them instead. Like, look, people are kind of entitled to be excited by him, and they're entitled to think that having watched Ireland on Saturday, that Smallbone could contribute something different. And I think he will in time. Like, if he gets any kind of like match sharpness next year at all, if he gets any kind of run of games, then like, yeah, I really think he could be a useful asset for us. But not right now. Like, he just had, I think he only had 4 Premier League appearances last season, 6 appearances in total. And he'd support a run of games together. And that's what Stephen Kenny said today. He thinks he's definitely an international player in the future, but just have to be patient. Like, now is not the time.
There does seem to be this, there's no in between with the Irish support online, I'll say. I think anyone that goes to the Aviva, if you speak to the supporters that are there, everyone is kind of on the same wavelength. There's kind of level-headed responses. They're never overly critical of a player. They never think a certain Irish player is the next Messi. Whereas if you look online, Will Smallbone now has been put up on this pedestal. Jeff Hendrick has been down in the dumps, getting kicked while he's down. It's something that you do notice a lot on match days when you go onto your phone. I actually said I might actually leave the phone down on match days from now on. It's quite exhausting a lot of the time at this extreme high and extreme lows.
Yeah, like, I definitely had to put down my phone for a couple of hours after the Armenia match anyway. It was just like just an explosion of hatred and arguments, whatever. But like, yeah, that's definitely been like a kind of consistent thing anyway. Like, it's like the guy who isn't there, his stock rises, and the guy who is there, his stock falls. Like, don't you know, if Smallbone played the other day and he didn't touch an impact, like, no one's going to be excited about him or picking him up anymore then. It's like, just, you know, it's like there's always a solution outside the current team. And to be fair, it is hard to kind of gauge the difference between, you know, the standard of 21s football and the standard of international senior football. You know, when you see these guys doing so well, it is exciting. But I think we know by now, and like, we definitely should know by now, like, how hard likes of Adam Ida and Troy Parrott found senior football. Like, it does take a while, especially for those attacking players, it seems, you know. So, look, Smallbone's going to be a good player, and we have other players coming through like that. But just a bit of patience. Like, wait for them to kind of really, put up their hand to their club performances, I think, rather than just looking at these 21s games and jumping to conclusions.
And what about this game tomorrow night against Ukraine? They're the highest ranked team in the group. The group contains Scotland and Armenia as well. And a lot of people are obviously talking about Ukraine's defeat against Wales on Sunday and how much that'll take out of them. But I think Ukraine are probably going into every game now with a massive extra motivation behind them every time they pull on their jersey. That's nearly what they're doing for their country to represent them on the global stage and try and lift morale. So I'm not sure how downbeat they'll be. Obviously, they'll be heartbroken to have missed out on the World Cup, but there'll be a big Ukrainian support there tomorrow with the Aviva as well. So I'm sure they'll want to put a show on for their supporters there and back home as well in their own country.
Yeah, like, they absolutely will. And it'll be a fairly, obviously, like, quite a big occasion overall anyway. And like, they're 100% going to give whatever they can. You would think, like, because of the amount of emotion they would have put into the last two performances, like, that is a big kind of amount of drive and emotion and passion to put into two games. It kind of probably only built up after the Scotland match leading into that Wales match. So it is like a big release of, like, you know, the fact that they were knocked out by Wales. Like, it probably will be hard for them to get back up to like a level-headed, like a professional kind of
even physically that emotion, that might have taken a lot out of them as well, self-consciously.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to kind of articulate it properly, but I think you kind of get what I'm trying to say. Like, but the thing is, they obviously still have quality, like, and, you know, quality is always there regardless of the kind of fitness or emotion or whatever. So, like, we're obviously going to have to be wary. There's going to be times in the game where we have to, like, sit back and absorb pressure. And, you know, I think as we're kind of finding over time, with the larger the sample size becomes under Stephen Kenny, that actually, like, our best results and performances tend to come when it is like that, when it is like, okay, your turn to have a spell, our turn to have a spell. We can use our pace of Ogbene, you know, we can drive our wing backs forward, you know, and try find space when they put players forward. Because
is this a game where you think Ireland will be on the counter-attack more than being on the front foot and maybe been outpossessed by Ukraine?
Yeah, possibly. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, possession was just slightly in their favor, not considerably, like, but just, I do think there will be spells where at least we can try and launch counterattacks, and we can try and use the more like athletic and pacey kind of attributes to our team. Whereas like when it comes to like Luxembourg or Azerbaijan, that depends on kind of technicians to unlock their like low block, whatever. And like, I don't think our wing backs like crosses were particularly good the other day, and we don't have the midfield player either. So, you know, maybe this suits us better.
Ogbene, where do you think he'll play tomorrow night? Because he started as part of the front three against Armenia, and then towards the end of the game, he was actually moved to right wing back, where he plays a lot of his games for Rotherham. And I actually thought he was a lot more effective from there, because he was able to run into space and have more of a picture in front of him and try and create things. And this is a game where Ireland might be on the back foot, so he could be a good counter-attacking option. So where do you think he might start? Because as we know, Seamus Coleman won't be playing tomorrow.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Like, I think I'd really like to see him play there, like in a way, because he'd just be such a kind of like athletic option. Like we kind of complained about the lack of width on Saturday, that like Enda Stevens and Coleman brought us. They kind of had a tendency to play a small bit narrow. Then while they're narrow, they also like checked inside further and looked for the midfield pass every time. So they have kind of the opposite of that, where it's like high and wide Ogbene playing at right wing back. Like, I think that could give us a more exciting dimension. I think all the best Ireland performances have relied on like that athleticism and like youth and exuberance, and Stevens and Coleman were like very opposite of that at the weekend. So maybe, but to be honest, I think Cyrus Christie is probably has a great chance of starting. I just think because of like, we're going to be wary of like Ukraine's attack as well. So obviously Christie, to be fair to him, like he has had a good half season at Swansea. So I think he'll probably be the one who starts.
Very good. We'll get stuck into some fan questions. A lot of questions came in when we announced you're coming onto the show. So we'll go first to Liam, and he wants to know, who, in your opinion, is the biggest under 23 talent that Ireland have that nobody really seems to be mentioning? So one that's going under the radar, maybe, that's under 23.
Yeah, I had a few ideas until he said no. But someone that nobody's mentioning, because people just love to kind of like spam my replies every day of the week with various names. I was thinking, like, I did a piece for the FAI match program. I think it'll be in it for the Scotland match.
Very good.
And there's a striker, Luke Pearce, for Southampton. I don't know if you saw him.
Southampton seem to be a good source of Irish talent at the moment, though.
Yeah, I think the guy's English born, but he's played for 19s a couple of times. And like, he's only 17 still, but he played for the Southampton under 23s like a number of times this season. And every time he came off the bench or when he started, he seemed to either score or assist a goal. So considering he's only 17, he was kind of hitting the same type of like strike rate that, say, like Evan Ferguson would have been hitting when he was playing 23s. So, like, to be honest, like, no one is really mentioning him that much. So I'm just interested to see where he goes. And like, yeah, there's just so many others I could probably mention. Like, just a couple of guys at Wolves as well. There's actually a young winger, Lee Harkin, who's been doing really well as well. He's only like 5'6", but a nimble winger, and he can score goals. So,
brilliant stuff. There's a few for the for your notepad, Liam. We'll move on to Jake, who's been a bit cheeky here. I think he's looking for three or four questions at once. So I'll try and just throw this all into one quick question. He wants to know who would be your starting 11 against Ukraine. He wants to know, how do we pick the lock and not give up too much on the counter at the same time, and what Stephen Kenny's approach to the game might be. So I'll leave that to you, whatever way you want.
I'll try and make that short. Yeah, to be honest, I was only thinking of making like three changes to the team. I don't think we should like really panic. Like, I don't think like just looking at like a scoreline and just throwing everything out based on the scoreline and like abandoning a process, which, like, I think the process itself, like, statistically would see us win the Armenia match like at least seven times. Like, if we played them 10 times, we would have won seven times. So I don't think we should like really just like panic and throw everything we know out. I'd just bring in Cyrus Christie for Seamus Coleman. I think Enda Stevens, like, he only played half of Sheffield United's games this season, so I'd probably bring in McLean there. And I think Knight in for Parrott. I think Jason Knight was a big loss. Like, I think part of the question was, how are we going to like find a way through the Ukrainian defense? Like, I think having that like midfield player is really important to our front three. Just it gives us like more fluidity. I think it really like connects the lines together, or midfield and forward line. And whenever like Jamie McGrath's played there, or Alan Brown's played there, or Knight's played there, I think like all our best performances have come when they have been there, and even out of possession, one of them can drop in and make a 3-5-2. I think that would be a very like intelligent pick to put in Knight. I think that's our friend's full question, is it?
Brilliant. You mentioned James McLean there, that you'd bring him in for the next game. I thought McLean was incredibly poor off the bench on Saturday, and look, his crossing is something Irish fans highlight quite a lot, but I think the last action of the game, I was very close to putting the television out the window. His cross almost went out for a throw, and I think that was two or three times he did it off the bench. So I'm not sure your selection there would be too popular with that many Irish fans, as much as we all know.
I'm actually worried. I have that team sheet like scheduled to go out and Kenny's kids in like an hour's time, and I'm absolutely dreading it. So
we'll see what the reaction is like. Aidan Holland wants to know, who has bigger potential, Evan Ferguson or Kevin Zeffey? Also, he wants to know if Stephen Kenny's not the man to bring Ireland to a major tournament, who would you realistically replace him with? A thought that none of us want to have in our mind, but I suppose the question's been asked, so I'll leave it to you.
Yeah, I think, you know, whatever people's opinion on Stephen Kenny, like, he's not perfect, but what's more depressing is the thought of who would actually replace him. Like, I just don't see any kind of like appointment that the FAI would make that would like inspire confidence or like continue this kind of like movement, you know, towards more progressive style and younger players, and, you know, football that gets the stadium singing their manager's name and getting into the games and really connecting with the players. Just don't see an appointment that would, you know, have those have the capability of bringing that kind of support or connection that Stephen Kenny has so far. We've seen it'd be some like English lad who's going to stay here for a couple of years and leave again more than likely. So that's probably one of my defenses of Stephen Kenny, that like, it's great saying this guy isn't getting the results we want, but like, what's your plan B? At least give a solution to the thing that you are complaining about. And the other question, like Zeffie or Ferguson, look, like they're both like really talented players, but like it's hard to compare them. Like I saw that question on Twitter a while ago, like whereas Evan Ferguson has played Premier League minutes and we've seen him play like 21 football. And you look at him and you go, okay, this is like, you know, 21 football and literal senior football against the best Premier League players. And look, yeah, he hasn't like really like scored that level yet, but you can still see, like, because of his physicality. Despite,
I was just going to say, physically, there's a massive difference there as well.
Yeah, like there's no fear of him at all. Like once he learns a few tricks, like, and you kind of has more like know-how in the game, like I think he'll be a serious force. And I'm really excited to see how he progresses, because like, how good would it be to have like a reliable Ireland striker that we know we can rely on? Like it'd be such a massive boost to us. Whereas Zeffy like is more unknown. Like he's only really gotten like a few minutes for the 19 so far. Like he's come on a couple of times, might have started one game. He's mostly still at like the 17s and 18s, which is obviously is very hard kind of age grade to really know where he stands, but like he is obviously a standout player at that level. And if he's in Inter Milan's academy, like, you think he scored like a hat trick for their 17s team. And apparently, I think like Stephen Carr is like his agent. He said he's trained with their first team sometimes this season as well. So, like, it's kind of more just trying to put all the hints together with Zeffie, whereas Ferguson, we have first hand evidence. But look, I don't think it's kind of right to compare them, but just to, you know, wish them both well. And I think they could both be a great, they could both really help Irish football in the future.
Yeah, and obviously Evan's old man, a former Longford Town star, so it'd be cool from my point of view to see to see Evan in the senior team down the line. A final question comes in from the founder of Kenny's Kids, Kevin Higgins. He wants to keep you honest and up to your work. He wants to know, who would you start up top against Ukraine?
So I just think, like I was looking at it earlier, and I really wasn't impressed by Callum Robinson in the Armenia game. Really, like I thought, he's a bit loose in possession. Like he didn't really even like the crosses coming in, it's not really his fault, but he's not really the guy who's gonna, you know, score a header in the same way you'd hope that, you know, maybe Niall Quinn would have. I was going to say like Will Keane or someone, but I mean he wasn't great in his last Ireland game either. But having said that, like I think that combination of Knight, Robinson and Ogbeni up front, I think like in the Belgium game in March, that was the tree. They really impressed me that day. Like I was at that game, and like the work three of them got through was like really like impressive, you know, like they just pressed and pressed and did not stop running for the whole game. And it really, really helped us. while in possession, there's a good mix there. It's like, I like having that one midfielder, one winger and one forward type. Like, I think that's a really good balance. So I think as like a trio and the balance they bring is really good. And they're also the three that play the second half against Luxembourg as well. So I think just like kind of for the time being anyway, I think they should be like their first choice front three going forward.
What about Obafemi? Because obviously a lot of people are looking towards him.
I'd kind of like to see him come on again, if possible. Like, obviously his Armenia debut wasn't what he would have hoped for. Like, again, he's just looking at like crosses coming in. He's not the tallest guy in the world. And like, he didn't really have a whole lot to do in terms of like build up play either. Didn't have any chances. So I think he'd be one of those now. It's kind of like more of a poacher type striker. And if we can create like a chance within the 6-yard box, or like if we are slipping passes through or like midfield channels, whatever, I think he'll come into his own then. He'll convert the chance that maybe Robinson or Ogbeni missed in the first half against Armenia. But his time will come, but I don't think now is the time to start him against Ukraine.
Very good. Give us a scoreline for the game tomorrow and the game Saturday against Scotland.
I was going to say 1-1 for both games just to be safe on it, you know.
Probably not too far wrong. Ronan, thanks very much for joining us. For anyone, the very few people now at this stage that don't know where they can find all the latest Ireland content on Kenny's Kids, do you want to let us know where they can find all of that?
So they're just the Kenny's Kids Twitter account, first of all. It's just at Kenny's Kids, and we're on Instagram as well. If you go onto the Twitter account, there's a little link in my bio. If you click on that, it can bring you to all the latest articles, the latest Instagram posts, the latest Twitter posts. So, that's it, really.
Brilliant stuff. Well worth a follow, listeners. Ronan, thanks very much for joining us. And look, let's hope for some positive results over the coming days.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Green.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, brilliant stuff from Ronan. Thanks to him for joining us. And make sure you give Kenny's Kids a follow on social media. But look, Gary, wasn't all negative, was it, this week? The under-21s, brilliant win for them against Montenegro last night. Gives them a massive chance of qualifying for a major championship, the under-21 championships of 2023. And your man was the star attraction on show in Tala last night.
He was. What a great performance. I was absolutely delighted that he got starting and he got his goal. And you know, a lot of other people were very impressed with him, people that mightn't have been too.
For any new listeners to the pod this week, Liam Kerrigan, folks, take down the name.
Yeah, write it in stone. He'll be playing for the senior team. No pressure, Liam. But I might
have told this story on the pod before, but I can't remember what game me and you were at before. Was it the playoff final last year?
No.
I think it was before then, because we've been raving about this man for a while. But whatever game we were at, me and you, Kerrigan was sensational, and we had been talking him up for a long time before that anyway. It wasn't as if we went to the game and we're like, who's this fella? We went there saying,
this lad.
If they were playing Longford, we said, obviously we want Longford to win, but we're looking forward to seeing this lad play. He's good. Kerrigan put on a masterclass. I went home and I tweeted a bookmaker and I said, what's the odds on Kerrigan senior cap? I think I might have played it safe and said, give me a price for before Euro 2024, give me a price before Euro 28, but they couldn't get me a price. But I'm gonna hound them again after last night, because he's a sensational talent. We'll wait and see what happens in terms of a move from UCD potentially in the coming weeks. But you'd imagine there's got to be clubs now all over looking at this young man.
100%. And look, I suppose on a personal note for him, you know, maybe he was looking at a move to within the league, but you know, playing at under 21 level, scoring a goal
always raises your profile.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, maybe there's a team in further afield that are looking at him going, this lad's a good little player. They look into him more from his time at UCD and go, geez, this fella's top quality. And maybe he goes to Italy or Germany or the UK or something like that.
Sort of lad that appeals to me. He'd be brilliant in Europe. I think if he went to the UK, he'd be well able, because he's technically class, but he's physically very strong as well, isn't he? He's, you know, he's very athletic. He's very strong. He wouldn't be a pushover, but we know what them lower leagues in England can be like at times. He mightn't just see an awful lot of football, mightn't get too many chances to show his class, but...
I don't buy that. Like, look, we're all playing football. Do you know what I mean? It's physical enough. We talk about the first division being, you know, war. So, you know, he's well able for it. He doesn't have to play the most technical of football. I think if he keeps going on the trajectory that he's going, there's big things ahead for him in the game. And certainly, you know, even just based on his performance last night, I was just delighted for him that he got his goal as well. The icing on the cake, and, you know, just capped off a great performance, and he deservedly got man of the match from Lisa Fallon with RTE. So delighted to see him get it. But I do want to point out, I watched both games on Friday and Monday. Some really good performances. I know Will Smallbone was highlighted as well. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of top quality young players coming through, and just for people that, you know, are not overly happy with Stephen Kenny and, you know, this and that and the other, this is kind of, you know, not to give Stephen Kenny all the credit. There's a lot of people knocking around there that we don't hear about that have contributed massively to this really promising group of young players playing for the under-21s at the moment. Stephen Kenny had a big hand in that as well.
Yeah, and he was there last night as well.
Yeah, and we're seeing the produce, and we will see it for years to come. So let's say Stephen Kenny doesn't last the summer, God forbid, sacked and someone else is brought in, and then 3 years time out, a great manager. Yeah, but he'll be bearing the fruits. He'll be using the fruits of Stephen Kenny's work.
Do you know what's important, though? It's crucial that if God forbid something like that did happen, it doesn't work out for Kenny for whatever reason, he has to be kept involved. I'm sure he might have ambitions of maybe going back into club management at a high level, but he's the sort of man that should be involved behind the scenes in terms of the entire picture in terms of building that pathway. Because for so many years, we've seen, like I said this before, you go back probably 10 years ago, I remember everyone talking about this sensational talent in the under-21s team, Robbie Brady, and he came through. But aside from that, there was a lot of players knocking around underage teams that just, they played a number of caps for underage teams, and never that was it. You never heard of them again. There was never that progression. And what's most important of all now, all the underage teams are playing the one style of football. They're playing the same style that the senior team play, so that if they do get the call up, they're familiar with the pattern of play. So that's very important. So the blueprint is there. No matter what happens in terms of results with the senior team, that blueprint needs to be kept. It needs to be continue to improve it whatever way we can. But people like Stephen Kenny, they need to be, you know, kept across that. So that's all I'll say on that. But the final point before we go, Gary, the only disappointment, I suppose, from them under 21 games in Tallaght over the last couple of days was the small crowds.
That's not the public's doing. Make no mistake. I went on Thursday night and I saw on the Ticketmaster, they were doing the 2-for-1. Buy the 2 tickets and 1 ticket. I said, Jesus, go to the 2 of them. Because I'd forgotten that the game was on the Monday. And I said, Jesus, great idea. I went in, 2 sections available. And, 3 sections available. 1 seat by itself, I think in the East Stand or West Stand, whichever is which. And it was the West Stand. And then a handful of tickets and 2 sections in the South Stand. So I just instantly close it. Oh, well, be a great crowd there, but I'm not arse going. And then I look again on Monday, beautiful day. So why not have a look? 2 sections available, the same 2 sections available in the South Stand. It's like, I don't want to watch the game there. And then you look at it on telly and it's no one out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the under-21s are doing well. They could qualify for a major championship. We need to support them. I would have supported them. I wasn't on the ball enough. I could have got tickets earlier if I had my head screwed on. I didn't. But when I did try and get tickets, it just wasn't that appealing. You see, other people online going, oh, my kids couldn't go to that match. Yeah. They were watching at home on telly and there's no one there. What's that about? How is this happening?
Previously, the under-21s were getting good crowds. The women's games have been getting fantastic crowds as well. So this is something that needs to be rectified immediately. So the powers that be there need to bang their heads together with Ticketmaster and say, what happened here? I've seen this with cup finals, FAI cup finals, in years gone by. Clicking into Ticketmaster, one section available, when you know there's maximum 30,000 seats sold. I know there's issues there with, obviously, the two clubs to qualify for the final, they get their ends and their season tickets and all the rest, but it's been something that has irked League of Ireland fans for a long, long time. It seems like it's almost, as you said, an obstacle trying to get these tickets as opposed to being an easy process. So that's something...
It seems like the lad on TY in for 2 weeks for work experience between Ticketmaster and the FAI, he's the lad deciding the whole thing. And it's just baffling. Now, there's a lot of people as well, and I kind of, maybe not at under 21 level, but I was talking to a friend of mine who doesn't go to League of Ireland games. So I've dragged him a few times. And we were talking about the poor crowd in Tala last night. And we were talking about, he's from Longford as well, and we were talking about going to underage games out in Plancare Park, as it was known back then, and great occasions.
Yeah.
The football on show. Lads that went on to play at an extremely high level in the game. We saw them in Plancare. We didn't know who we were looking at, but just that lad played in Plancare a few years ago. And those are great occasions. The FAI have decided, right, everything's going to happen in Tala. That's fine. Make sure everybody can go.
Yeah.
Don't have this crap going on. And I do think, certainly, at least at most, or at least under 19 level and below, those games should be around the country. You have to spread it around. Tala isn't that special that other teams can't host games like that.
Yeah, look, I can certainly see the logic in kind of making an official or an unofficial kind of base for underage teams, women's national team. I can see the logic in that.
Underage national team and under 21s, everybody else. You know, not everything has to be in Dublin.
No, as I said, I can see the logic for those games being played in Tala, but I've been at those underage games in Longford years gone by when I was a child, more previous ones in years gone by. Fantastic crowds, bigger crowds than you'll ever see a town game out there. And loads of kids go as well. So I do think, and we've even seen that England did it when Wembley was being rebuilt. They brought the senior team around the country and they were finding the same great kind of carnival atmosphere. All the games, kids that would never get to go to Wembley getting to see their heroes in their local stadium as such. So I do think there's huge benefits to that. Maybe can they play friendlies around the country and play the qualifiers in Tala or something like that? I don't know, but definitely there needs to be some sort of overview of that situation.
There is, but like lots of people that go into the League of Ireland, oh, they're dumps. All the stadiums are crap. Look at the state of them. And then they might go to some of these stadiums like, Jesus, the Irish underage team are playing here. It mustn't be that bad. I'll go. Oh, Jesus, look at this. It's actually nice. Yeah, I might go to a Longford Town game or a Sligo game or a Cork game or whoever it is. But I might go next week when they're playing at home and it's my own team where I'm from. I might go to that game. Who knows? But like, I think this idea of, you know, I think back when I think of the FAI, I think of Ned Flanders' parents in The Simpsons. We've tried nothing and we're all out of ideas. That's kind of what I'm seeing with some things at the FAI. And it'd be just great if they just tried a couple of different things. It'd be just nice. So end this on a positive note, I think.
Well, a Simpsons quote was a good way to end it, I think. We haven't had one of them in a long time, so I'll give you your credit there. But no, look, that's where we'll round it off. Only the three games to preview this week in the First Division, but good, lots of chat there on Ireland. So hopefully you've enjoyed tonight's show, and that's where we're going to leave it. But we will be back again next week.
Will we be back next week?
We're going to Poland, but we're back on the Wednesday, so...
I won't be.
Oh, you're staying out there, are you?
No, I have a Longford Town business on the continent. Oh,
wow. That sounds interesting.
Absolutely.
A bit of scouting.
A bit of scouting, yeah. Yeah, so... I don't know. You might have to riding solo next week.
I might have to dig up John Breyer. heat him up. we'll try and get something together. Hopefully we'll be back next week. But
we try and do a live pod in the street and Lods on Tuesday.
That could be interesting. if there's any of our listeners heading out to Lots in Poland for the Ireland-Ukraine game next week, and you do happen to come across us a couple of Egots, don't be afraid to say hello. We love meeting our listeners at matches. But we'll leave it there for this week. As ever, you know the crack by now. You can subscribe to the pod on the likes of Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, all the rest. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net as well. You can find the podcast there as well as a few other bits and pieces. You'll find Between the Stripes on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And if you're loving the show every week and you'd like to show your appreciation, then you can buy us a beer on buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. And you'll see a little tab for that on the website as well. If you want to click on that, you can donate the price of a pint to myself and Gaz as well. And we'll certainly spend it out in Poland next week, and the Zloty and all the rest. So look, we'll leave it there. Thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll see you next week, hopefully. And come on, Ireland.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.